a lot of movies and TV shows have come out in the past week.
Right.
So I want to see if you've seen any of these that everybody's been looking forward to, and I want to get your thoughts, which are the best.
Okay.
First was The Matrix.
Yes, Matrix Resurrection.
Yes. Did you see it?
Of course I did.
Okay. Thoughts?
Okay. Here's my thoughts on it. I loved The Matrix. I would say the original Matrix is one of my favorite movies ever. It's perfect. And it's perfect because it had a storyline, but yet it was really futuristic. It changed the way people looked at movies from a technological and computer-based standpoint. It spawned all these other movies. Like, for example, I've heard Aaron Sorkin talk about how The Matrix influenced him to write The Social Network.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which, if you think about it, there is a connection. The idea of what's reality, what's not, what's online, what's not, you know. It was such an important movie. So for me, I enjoyed being with those characters again. I enjoyed seeing them again. However, my only issue with the movie is that there was no story. There's no reason for that movie to have happened.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing happened that we had to go grab Neo again and throw him back into the Matrix and go find Trinity. Like, there was no reason other than Lana Wachowski just wanted to make another movie and make some more money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was looking for a deeper meaning to it, but the acting was very good. I loved Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh,
as the analyst.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Best he's ever acted.
Yeah. Yeah. He was so delicious in it. And I love the twists and turns. I love the storyline, but I think overall I felt like I just kept waiting for something like the there to happen. And then also, you know, as far as the fight scenes went, it didn't have those cool effects. Like, the fourth movie, by now, you should be giving me a whole other level of special effects fighting. All they did was kind of like run up a wall and kick each other a couple of times. They didn't do much of the bending backwards or the cool shit. There was, I don't know, it wasn't special. I just was looking for special.
I thought it had a good idea to start the movie, like, he's out of the Matrix. He's taking blue pills every day to stay out of the Matrix. I think somebody over dinner had that idea and said, let's build a Matrix around that. And they kind of filled in parts that didn't make sense. It's like, spoiler, if you haven't seen it, screw you. They take Trinity out of the pod.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using all this mumbo jumbo, like, we have to do the philosophy flector at a three. It's like, it makes no sense.
And they bring in Priyanka Chopra, who is lovely and gorgeous and fantastic, for no apparent reason,
right,
to stand there and like oversee the pod. It was like, I'm glad you brought in Priyanka, but honestly, it was just not necessary.
You could have cut that whole scene and just and taken her out of the pod and saved 20 minutes of my life.
Or do something else with Priyanka. You know, she's so talented and so beautiful.
She was
don't
great.
Just waste her. You don't waste her as somebody who's monitoring the fucking pod. That's so stupid.
And Will Smith's wife, great job.
Right.
She did a great job. I think everybody.
Jada Pinkett Smith.
She looked awesome. She played that part right. But
the acting was phenomenal across the board. Oh, let me tell you something else I loved about it. If nothing else, there was one reason for The Matrix Resurrection in my mind. And it was to send the message to Hollywood that a 57-year-old Keanu Reeves does not have to have a 25-year-old love interest. He can have a 54-year-old Carrie Ann Moss.
Is she 54?
Yes.
She's amazing.
Gorgeous.
Dear
like,
God.
More beautiful than anybody half her
more
age.
More beautiful than when she was 30.
I agree. She looks fantastic. So I love the fact that it was a love story, and the main love story took place revolving around these two people, and you never went, oh my God, they're old. You never had that feeling. It was Neo and Trinity, and they were still a beautiful couple. You still totally shipped them. You know, you still had, like, they were absolutely perfect together.
Yeah, so out of 5, I give it a 3.
I agree. Yeah, 3.
The other one that came out, we were both looking forward to Don't Look Up.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it?
I did see it.
Okay. On paper, and the previews looked great.
Great.
The acting, amazing.
off the charts. Jonah Hill did an amazing job of playing somebody that I both wanted to fuck and punch in the face at the same time.
He's always played that part. That's the only part he's ever played.
But he was so good at this. I was like, oh, he's so sexy. Oh my God, I fucking hate this asshole.
But they could have cut half of that movie out and it would have been a decent movie. It was okay, way so too long.
I agree with that. So what I did is I did the cut for them.
Mm.
So I watched the movie up until the point where nobody... So in case you don't know the premise. So the premise is Jennifer Lawrence, who was phenomenal in it. I mean, she looked great. She
I couldn't stand her hair. The hair threw me off the whole time.
I loved it. I love that she had this like weird look. Yeah, she was. It was so modern. It was so cool. I loved her.
Her
and Leonardo DiCaprio together, to me, they should continue to do movies together over and over. Like the way she has that chemistry with Bradley Cooper, she has that chemistry with Leonardo DiCaprio.
I think she has that chemistry with any guy.
Well, no, but they're not lovers in it, which is why it's interesting. They play well off each other as professor and student, and that's what they were.
Mm-hmm.
So the concept is Jennifer Lawrence is a PhD student, and she discovers what she sees is an asteroid going in a very strong pattern, and then they realize it's heading towards Earth. It's barreling towards Earth. And her professor is Leonardo DiCaprio, and he's kind of like awkward and bumbling and not very well spoken. So when he tries to explain to the powers that be at NASA that this is happening, he's like, well, you know, if you look back in the history of... He goes too much into depth rather than being like, there's an asteroid, it's coming right towards us.
Right.
Like, that's all he should have said. So it's very frustrating, and they roll that out, and they eventually go and they talk to the president, who's played by Meryl Streep.
That could have been cast differently. I didn't like her part in that at all.
Well, she was doing, I don't know if you've seen the interviews or the people talking about it by now, or Adam McKay talking about it. She was doing a female, almost parody of Donald Trump.
I know. I think it was too far-fetched.
I do too. I think it was too inside baseball. It was, yeah. I think they should just play that straight. Don't try and be political here. Just do the story. Yeah. So anyway, so they... Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence come and tell the president and NASA and the world and the powers that be, hey, this thing's happening and we got to do something about it before it's too late. We have 6 months, 48 days and 36 hours or whatever it is. Otherwise, this is going to hit the earth and we're all going to be dead.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody believes them. They're Chicken Little. And they go on television and they go on
the fake show. Today Show.
Yeah, the fake Today Show or the fake Good Morning America, whatever it is. And they put them on last. After Ariana Grande, she was great in it, I have to say.
Yeah, like, she was great.
She played a celebrity going through like a scandal, so that was actually kind of funny. But they, you know, it's a parody. The whole thing is a parody of the world right now, basically. So once they all did not believe them and they were trying hard to tell people this is real, I was like, okay, this is going to go on too long. So I fast forwarded until people finally believed them. So I cut out that whole middle part that was unnecessary.
Perfect.
And I got to the point where people started believing them and it was too late by then.
See, that would have been a good edit. I did like the part in that part that you cut out to where you could look up and see the asteroid coming. So then the whole presidential party started the campaign, don't look up. So if you don't look up, you don't see it, it's not happening. So that's really the whole world right now. I thought that part of it was brilliant. They dragged it out way too long.
Yeah, that's the idea, that if you, it's a parody for everything that went on during the last couple of elections that we've had. It's a parody that went on with COVID. You know, if you don't believe it, it's not going to happen until you get sick and then, you know, it's happening. So it was definitely a little on the nose, though. It was a little obvious.
Right.
But then the end when it's too late and the world blows up. Sorry, that's how it ends. Yeah. The world blows up.
I think it was the best movie Netflix has put out. So I'll give them credit for that.
So Bird Box prior to Don't Look Up was there. Hang on. Was their most watched movie of all time.
Right.
And then that movie came along with Ryan Reynolds, The Rock, and Gal Gadot.
See, that was good.
Yeah, that's now that's Netflix's most watched movie of all time. And I think Don't Look Up is up there in the top five now at this point.
All right. I thought it would be higher. But I think it was the best movie they put out. But it could have been better. I think people need to learn how to edit. And I think they're editing for time instead of editing for content.
Yeah, so Don't Look Up is Netflix top 10. It's in the top 10 movies of all time on Netflix.
Wow. I thought with that type of cast and coming out on Christmas Day, I thought it would be number one by far.
Yeah, you would think so, but Sandra Bullock's The Unforgivable is actually doing a little better.
Unwatchable for me.
Yeah, no, I know you don't care for her. She does a lot of movies for them that you don't like that are not for you.
Because it's not. Anyway, so more TV shows that came out than I was looking forward to. Letterkenny came out on the day after Christmas. Loved it. Best season so far.
They're still making that show?
Only 6 episodes for the whole season, and each of them are like 25 minutes long. So you binge it in like 14 seconds and it's done.
Right, but right. I just didn't realize they're still making it. I thought that was like a show of the past that you're just rewatching.
No, they're still, because they come out with 2 seasons a year, but it's been COVID, so they haven't come out with one in like 2 years. The other show that came out this week, Boba Fett. It's another Star Wars John Favreau TV show.
What's that, on Paramount Plus or one of those?
Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah. I don't have Disney Plus.
It's the story of Boba Fett. Think it was amazing.
Okay, good.
So couldn't be happier about that. And today, Cobra Kai came out on Netflix, which it's been a year. Season 4 started out. I'm trying to wean myself to only doing 1 episode a day so I don't burn through it in 1 day. But right. There's 10 episodes, and I think so far, to put Ralph Macchio, give him a job, and still continue that story from 40 years ago and make it relevant, I think it's a thumbs up. 5 out of 5.
Well, those are all the boy shows. So there's 2 girl shows that are out right now that are phenomenal. And I mean phenomenal. I didn't like the first season that much, but the second season was much better. Emily in Paris, that just dropped on Netflix about a week or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's talking about that because Lily Collins is adorable. The outfits are phenomenal. It's Darren Star. It's everybody from the original Sex and the City people. So it's the Sex and the City writers and Patricia Field, who did the fashion, all that stuff. And it's funny because the concept is Emily is this character who's originally from Chicago. She gets sent to Paris because her boss can't go, she's pregnant. So she gets sent to Paris to be part of this, it's a marketing team. Mm-hmm. Like they do marketing and promotion and whatever. They have all these different like famous clients. And she gets sent out there, but she's like a, you know, kind of like a young up-and-comer, you know, hoping to get a promotion kind of thing. Yet, she has a different outfit every day, and the outfits are phenomenal. They're
That's
like Chanel
like
and Gucci, like head to toe. It's like, let me get this straight. You're in Paris for a year, staying in a tiny apartment, yet you have 365 outfits and 365 pairs of shoes. Like, she never wears the same thing twice. So it's, you suspend disbelief because that fantasy happens, you know, but it's adorable. It's, don't look too deep into it. You're not looking for anything too deep going on. It's really enjoyable. It's a really sweet story. She co-stars in it with Ashley Park, who you might not know that name unless you're a Broadway person. Ashley Park is a huge Broadway star. She was in Mean Girls. She was in, I think, Legally Blonde. She's done a ton of stuff. And she plays a singer in Emily in Paris. So it's terrific. I mean, it's so adorable. And the stories they tell are really well done. I binged it. I did the same thing where I tried to not watch it because it was so cute.
Mm-hmm.
So that was adorable. My favorite show on television ever, ever. It was Mindy Kaling's best, in my opinion. Like, I'm a huge Mindy Kaling fan to begin with. I love Never Have I Ever. I love The Mindy Project. Now I am obsessed with the sex lives of college girls.
Really?
It's on HBO Max. It is. Okay, so the sex life of college girls is, to me, the perfect show. all the characters are very realistic, very relatable, very likable. All the stuff they go through is so what's happening right now. And you can totally see all this stuff. The way they speak to each other is really natural and normal. It's, to me, it's everything that Lena Dunham tried to make Girls, which she did not succeed. Because with Girls, none of those characters were likable. You didn't care what happened to them. You actually wanted bad things to happen to them because they were horrible people. The dialogue was not realistic. Stuff happened in Girls that you were like, as if. The sex life of college girls is so relatable on so many levels. Really well acted, really well written. It's, to me, it's the Sex and the City for this generation. So if you did not see The Sex Life of College Girls, it's on HBO Max. It's the best thing that Mindy Kaling has ever done.